Remarks. Remarks at the Pacific Press Stockholders Meeting, January 23, 1905. Since I have been here, I have had a representation in regard to the much light that has been sent to the different offices, to open before them all the improvements that they could make by heeding the word of the Lord. Here is something that was brought when Brother Bartlett and Brother Wood concluded to withdraw themselves from the work and go into speculation. There will be temptations come in every line, no matter what it is that they can take hold of. A man's individuality. Train it in the right direction. This was repeated. This is a message to them, but it was repeated. Extracts quoted are from MS 60, 1898. The institutions that God has established, and especially here in Australia, the very same repetition has been made in other institutions appointed of God to do a special work. By giving to the world, by their influence and example, the last message of mercy ever to be given to a fallen world. Every man's soul must be in such connection with God that they can give the word in season. An angel of God was represented as standing close by their side to make that impression upon the hearts of unbelievers that they would carry it away with them, and the time would be that they would take their position upon the truth, unless they, those appointed, utterly refused to have any influence upon them. As the light from a lighthouse warns of breakers on a rocky coast, so must our institutions stand so that we can give warning. Keep in vital connection with the great master worker, seeking to use every entrusted talent in an effort to become perfect yourselves in every line of the work through the imparted wisdom of Christ, that you can impart what He will impart to you to the unbelieving ones that shall come within the hearing or under the influence of these institutions. This is of more value to the world than sermons, because it is the truth lived. It is the truth practiced. The world is watching you more than you have any idea of, ready to criticize your words and deportment in business transactions. No one who is worthy to act a part in connection with the work of God, healthful condition. We want a healthful atmosphere that is circulating in our own souls, in our own brains, that we may give light, that we may strike the right chord, so that we may sow the seeds which God would have us to sow in righteousness. They are to do the work. All those that believe the truth are under solemn responsibilities to carry that work. It is to be done as faithfully as it is possible for them to do it, by the exercise of industry, frugality, and economy. They will improve, and they will rise to a higher and higher standard, until God can call them to go out. Let the aims of every worker be that they will be in co-partnership with the great worker. No room, not so much as a corner, is to be left in the heart for overreaching, selfishness, underhand work, or any species of these things. By the grace of God, every provision has been made for us, in the pledge that is made at our baptism, and He says, "Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. Well, this is carried before me night after night, and it has been night after night until I could not sleep. I have not been able to, but a few nights, past 1 or 2 o'clock. This morning I slept till nearly 3. They should move in harmony with their brethren. There is a diversity of characters. There is a diversity of leaves on a tree, but the same tree produces the same leaves. And although they are not exactly in form as others, exactly all in one form, yet they are to be perfect in their form, perfect in their development. And yet they are diverse, just as the church varies in their capabilities, in their traits of character. But if they perfect these traits of character, they combine together to make a complete whole. And when they do this, the Holy Spirit of God will work with them in such power that the time is just before us. When there will be those to whom you are circulating the manuscripts and the reading matter, that they are all ready to take their position on the truth. But we must be where we have got a right hold upon God ourselves. The Laodicean message to the church belongs to the church at this time, at this period of our history, and he tells us that we are distasteful, that we are neither cold nor hot. I would then that thou wert either cold or hot. So then, my mouth. Revelation 3, verse 15, 16. But he does not leave us there. You see his mercy, don't you? He does not leave us there. He does not drop us right into the pit. I counsel thee to buy of me. Verse 18.
Those who with to mingle with their work the commercial, and have their minds affected by that kind of work, they are neither cold nor hot. They may have commercial business to attend to, that has got to be done to advance the work and the cause of God. But here is God that wants us, not for the gold's sake, to give our capabilities, our brain, our nerve power, so that we shall not stand in a position to realize the importance of the truth for this time. It seems as though it is taking the very life and soul out of me that it is so hard to make our people understand it. And I want that every one of us should appreciate the brother just as Christ appreciates us. We are Christ's heritage. He died on the cross for us. He gave his life for us, and we are to shine as lights in the world. We are to let our light shine before men, that they have something to see, that by seeing our good works, they shall glorify our Father which is in heaven. That is how he is glorified. He is not glorified by your occupying a position. It is not the position that glorifies and exalts a man. It is the man that has fast hold of God that exalts the position. And God wants every one of us to stand alone and with him. Ye are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Then do not work so that he cannot build you up in the most holy faith. They should move in harmony with their brethren, and should be educated in these lines that there may be harmony in diversity. One may have something to say very different from what another has to say, but it is in the very same line. It is in the very same work. They must not make a narrow channel that they must speak and act just as the minister speaks and acts. Let God take the young men right from the plow. Let him take them as Jesus took them, right from the fishing boat. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4, verse 19. Christ took human nature and in his own life worked out the problem, showing how humanity, with all its objectionable features, may link up with humanity. It is by heeding the invitation, "Come unto me," that all may work in Christ's lines. Matthew 11, verse 28. You will not set yourself up as a criterion, but you will point them to the man of Calvary, who has given his own life and can wash our garments and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now here is the exhortation. It is to buy of me gold tried in the fire and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Revelation 3, verse 18. We are to see clearly and distinctly what the will of the Lord is. And then he tells them, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you will open the door, I will come in, and I will sup with you, and you with me." What a wonderful thing that is from the pronouncement of their being so worthless. I will sup with you, and you with me. And then the exhortation is given. He is trying every soul. He is trying them to see if they will be true and faithful. And then he says that every man that overcometh shall sit down with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father on his throne. Verse 21. Now the work of overcoming is thrown upon us. The work of diligently guarding our individual selves is thrown upon us. And God help us that we may obtain a right hold of Jesus Christ, that we shall shine as lights in the world. We want a strength that we have not now. We want a power to prevail with God, as did Jacob. There was poor Jacob praying, and the Lord Jesus came to him, and he did not recognize him. But there the Lord just began to wrestle with him, and wrestled as with an enemy. First one seemed to get the victory, and then the other. For Christ just placed himself in accordance with the being that he was wrestling with. And then at last he touches his thigh. He has got to give an affliction. He cannot gain a victory over the man until he has to afflict him. And then, when he afflicts him, he casts his helpless soul upon Jesus Christ. He says, "Let me go." "No," he says, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Genesis 32, verse 26. Now we want more Jacobs. We want more that hold on. "I will not let thee go." Verse 26. He wouldn't consent. And then what? The blessing came upon him. He blesses him, and then he was prepared to meet Esau. With the blessing of God shining in his countenance, he comes right to meet Esau. And Esau sees that he is with the angel of God. That is the very conviction that Esau had. He came to slay him, but he could not do anything. There was his army, but he just harmonized with Jacob in that very work. And God himself made the impression upon the mind of Esau. I will not attempt to say any more now, but at some time I may be able to say more.